What do you wear that makes you feel powerful? Well, the book Trappings, Stories of Women, Power and Clothing grew out of a series of more than 70 interview sessions that authors Tiffany Ludwig and Renee Pachecki held in 15 different states in each region of this country. During interview sessions, they gathered groups of women together and asked them to respond to the question, what do you wear that makes you feel powerful? The interview sessions were held in various venues, living rooms, libraries, meeting rooms, and other community spaces. The final product, the book, features portraits and interview texts by 61 women who have participated in Trappings. And our guests this morning are the authors of Trappings, Tiffany Ludwig and Renee Pachecki. Good morning to you, ladies.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm very, very well. Is that Tiffany or is that Renee?
This is Tiffany. Hi.
Good morning, Tiffany. And Renee's going to join us as well. Yeah. So we've got Renee on the line as well.
Hi there.
Hello. Good morning. This was very interesting. My the executive producer for Wake Up Call, Sharon Louise Harper, and I had a conversation about this because we were thinking about the fact that we'd never really thought about that particular question. So you, first of all, start by talking to us about this correlation. Why the correlation between clothing and power for women?
Well, you know, that kind of gets into a little bit of how Tiffany and I met and why we started the project. So maybe that's a good place to go. We met in 2000 and wanted to collaborate as artists. And we had to find a common denominator between both of our work as artists. And what we found was we weren't interested in making an object together. We were kind of more interested in causing a dialogue and maybe causing a little bit of trouble. So what we did was we identified that we wanted to do a project about women and we wanted to talk to women about feminist issues. But we also knew we wanted to talk to women who weren't comfortable with feminism and maybe women who had never participated in an art project before. So we identified, okay, maybe we can talk about power because that's going to bring up a lot of diverse conversations. And clothing, we determined, was a vehicle to access women's feelings about what power means to them and how they present power to the world. So that was the correlation between clothing and power for us.
And how did you define power? How are you defining power?
Well, luckily, we let all of our participants do that. So, I mean, seriously, though, we don't define power, and that's why we chose that question. We could have picked, sexy or comfortable or, you know, these other kinds of questions that would allow a conversation to happen, but we wanted one that had, some gray area to it. You know, is power something that is good? Is it empowering? Is it an oppressive situation one finds himself in with others of power? So we really left it open-ended to strategically allow, you know, the women in the project to define what power meant to them and what it meant to them in the many different situations they find themselves in their life, from their home life to their work life to their social settings and so on.
And what kinds of definitions did they come back with? Things did they say?
I think we've interviewed over 600 women at this point, and I would guess that we have more than 1,200 power definitions in the project. Women realize what a complicated thing that is. So there's all different kinds from, you know, very specific, you know, well, power for me is internal, it comes from within. Power for me is being able to support my family, so money. Power for me is spirituality. Power for me is sexuality, all of those kinds of things. But then there's a lot of women that we've interviewed who, maybe a lot's not fair, but there are certainly women that we've interviewed who are like, wow, this question has really made me think since I got the invitation to the interview session. I have no idea what power means. And so I've brought these 15 different outfits that represent maybe all these different places that power comes into play in my life. So it's, you know, although the project starts with a question about clothing, it's not really about clothing at all. It's really about this power issue. And women have come up with a lot of different definitions.
If I could add to that, I mean, what's interesting is also some women really reject that they can have power. They say, you know, power isn't something that's a part of my life, or like Renee was just saying, I've never thought about it, or, you know, I don't feel comfortable talking about power because I think it is oppressive, or I think it is demeaning, you know, to hold power over someone else. So I'm going to talk about comfort or some other word that they use for that strength.
And so then did they, as far as you say that clothes in the end, wasn't really about clothes, but I guess since the question was, what do you wear that makes you feel powerful? What kinds of examples of clothing did women offer that somehow illustrated that?
Well, you know what? We're actually in the we are getting ready for an exhibition that's going to open in Albuquerque at 516 Arts in a couple weeks. So I think who's very fresh on our minds is this group of women, about 40 women that we interviewed in Albuquerque in February. So for those groups, we interviewed a group of women at the Indian Pueblo Cultural Center, and more than half of them came in traditional wear. A lot of them were from different pueblos in New Mexico, so they came in traditional outfits. And that connection to their heritage was very definitely a lot of these women's power sources. Tiffany, do you want to talk about some of the other ones?
Well, I think that relating to someone's cultural history was definitely a kind of clothing that was brought up. You know, like we've mentioned, the gamut of, like, life settings comes up. So we've seen, you know, negligees for how power and clothing work in the bedroom to, you know, a blue navy power suit because, you know, that since, you know, this particular woman was a little girl was what she saw as, you know, being grown up and being powerful and what she strove towards growing up and, you know, achieved to wear. So we have seen all
hockey uniforms, boxing gear, stiletto heels, flat shoes, the whole range. You know, what's interesting about it is, you know, we've had a number of women come up in blue jeans, right? But what's fascinating is not that they're wearing blue jeans, but why. You know, so there's a woman in our project who talks about her blue jeans because they're what she was wearing the day that she escaped a kidnapping. There's another woman who's wearing blue jeans because she really believes in natural fibers and feels that jeans have a spiritual quality for her. So that's kind of, you know, because that's what's interesting. We're all wearing similar types of clothes, and it's really exciting to access women's long history and stories using that clothing as a platform.
So one of the things that's interesting to me is the kinds of differences there were between women, for example, around age or class or ethnicity.
Mm-hmm. We were very careful to be sure that we had a diverse range of diversity in our project. I mean, we didn't want to look at any specific cross-section of the population, but we've interviewed from ages 4 to 92 and, you know, in many different walks of life, many different, you know, situations and settings. So what's interesting is that, you know, kind of like Renee was just describing that, you know, jeans comes up from all different geographic regions and types of people. There are, like, very specific reasons why they wear it. And it's very hard for us since we're not anthropologists. We're artists doing this project. You know, we're not sociologists. We're not looking at the interviews to kind of look at what demographic trends there are coming out or what regional trends there are coming out. We're really, you know, providing the platform and then allowing those stories to be what we make the artwork out of. So there are, you know, there are definitely, you know, demographic issues which have come up, but we haven't necessarily created the artwork about those.
You started off by saying that one of the things you wanted to do was actually have a conversation about feminism mm-hmm. with women who were maybe not even comfortable with it as a word. What just talk to me a little bit about that and what you were trying to explore around feminism.
Well, I mean, I think Tiffany and I both certainly identify as third-wave feminists. So this idea of, you know, looking at diversity in women's lives as she was just describing as a way to organize our project was really important to us. You know, we wanted to talk to women about, you know, well, what kind of issues are you facing in the workplace, at home? You know, what kinds of struggles are you having? And then this project became a way to access all of those things about money and power and home life and community where feminist issues come into play. So it was kind of a writer named Patricia Phillips wrote an essay about our project and called our project question a decoy. And so it's interesting to think about the project question being a decoy as a way to access a wider conversation about feminist issues.
And what was the conclusion about the conversation when it came to feminist issues? Were you trying to establish
yeah.
Were you trying to establish whether or not, you know, feminism is being embraced by a new generation or by different types of women, or what
sure.
was it you were trying to explore about it?
Well, I guess one of the things that we wanted to explore was whether or not people were identifying as feminists. But it, in all honesty, it doesn't come up at every single interview session. Tiffany and I, the only scripted question is our project question. So if feminism comes up, it comes out of the women's interviews naturally. It's not, we don't say, what do you wear that makes you feel powerful, and then ask for more questions, and then whether or not you consider yourself a feminist. It's set up in a way so that's the only scripted question that we have. I would say feminism comes up a lot. Women are either struggling with it, rejecting it, or embracing it. So unfortunately, there's really no solid conclusion except for it's out there. Everyone knows what it is, but people aren't all in line with how they're dealing with it.
And why was that important to you? Why was it important for you to establish whether or not women were calling themselves feminists?
We're just curious about it. I mean, as, you know, two, you know, women in our 30s, you know, we, in our social circle, we were seeing women who wanted everything that feminism had to offer, equal pay, equal rights, you know, all these kinds of things, but were rejecting what feminism meant or rejecting that they were feminists. And to Tiffany and I, that was very, confusing and interesting. And so that was, you know, early on in the project when we had first met, that was one of the things that we're like, oh, it'd be really interesting to talk to people outside of our social circle about these issues. We were really just curious.
Hmm.
Maybe Tiffany has another answer for that. Okay.
Go ahead, Tiffany.
Well, I think Renee really just captured all of it in those answers. I mean, we, exactly, as feminists, wanted to create a project specifically about men. A lot of times, about women. A lot of times, we get the question: will you create a project about men? Will you ever ask men this question? And you know, that's not the framework for the project that we created. We really wanted to specifically, you know, engage in conversations. We had all kinds of crazy ideas before we developed What Do You Wear That Makes You Feel Powerful, and you know, luckily we threw those out the window because what we had to come to was kind of this soft entry point. Because, you know, we wanted to, I mean, this was just our desire. We wanted to get a broad range of answers and not, you know, black and white, I love feminism, I hate feminism. So, I mean, I think it's important because we're, I think in, you know, academic communities and in, you know, the art world, there are all, you know, all kinds of subjects. There is the conversation of what is feminism? What does it mean? It comes up on Time magazine every 4 years that feminism's dead. It's like, you know, what is that true? And, you know, how do people feel about it? And that response and that question has, infiltrated through our project to be something that people are talking about in conjunction with it.
We're in conversation with Tiffany Ludwig and Renee Pacecki about their new book, Trappings, Stories of Women, Power, and Clothing. So there's a signing tonight. Ladies, tell us about the details of the signing.
There is. It's at the New York Public Library Mid-Manhattan branch, and it's at 6:30 p.m. We'll both be there, and we'll be giving a presentation about the project, showing images, talking about past installations, future installations. We've got some, you know, as authors like to do, read their book. We thought it would be very bizarre if we, you know, tried to copy someone's accent, let's say, you know, during our reading. But we were very careful in writing the book that their you know, speech comes through. We edit it for, you know, flow, but we didn't take out, like, people's specific inflection. So anyway, what we've done is created video chapters. So we'll be showing a few of them tonight and, you know, be taking questions. Blue Stockings will be there, you know, with books, even though it's at a library. It's a free event. And like I said, it's at 6:30. It's at 455 Fifth Avenue, which is the southeast corner of 40th Street. Yeah.
Great. Oh, thank you. So that's Tiffany Ludwig and Renee Pacecki signing copies of their new book, Trappings, Stories of Women, Power and Clothing. That's at the Mid-Manhattan Library, 455 Fifth Avenue on the southeast corner of 40th Street at 6:30 p.m. tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.